Hello, my name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves at the bottom of Daf Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. That's the bottom of 24a, at the two dots that are four lines up from the bottom. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. As we begin this section, we return to the Mishnah. And as we've mentioned in the past, when you see these two diamond dots, which you see in the middle of the fourth line up from the bottom, where it says Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mishachar Beit HaMikdash Atzeret Kishabat V'chula, and then another diamond dots at the beginning of the third line up, that is a quotation from the Mishnah. So if you want a review from the Mishnah, you actually have to go back to Daf Yotet Amud Aleph. I'll just quote briefly from the Mishnah to remind us. We're talking about which holidays truncate Shiva and Shloshim. So the first opinion is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, which is the one that we just quoted, which is that, the first opinion is that of the Tanakama, who mentions briefly the Regalim, that the Regalim truncate Shiva and Shloshim. That is, if one of the Regalim, presumably Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, occur during one Shiva, your Shiva stops at that point. And if they occur during your Shloshim, your 30-day period, your Shloshim stops at that point. They cut it off. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Mishachar Beit HaMikdash, from the time the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Atzeret Kishabbat. Pesach and Sukkot might still be like regalim that truncate, but Atzeret is like Shabbat, which would presumably mean that that Shavuot counts as one of the days of Shiva and of Shloshim and does not truncate it. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, and Gamliel is the next opinion, and he says, Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim kiregalim. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are like regalim. In other words, it's not only, not only Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot interrupt one's Shiva and Shloshim, but also Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And the Chachamim present a final opinion, like neither of the opinions. They say Atzeret is like a regel, meaning the three regalim all go together, but Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are like Shabbat. So we have a number of opinions about three particular holidays. The area of Machloket is about Shavuot and about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Shavuot, because it's only a one-day holiday, not a seven-day regel like Pesach and Shavuot are. So since Pesach and Shavuot are 7 days long already, they would swallow up, if you will, the Shiva, but Shavuot would not. And Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because even though they are holidays, Mikra e Kodesh, they are not regalim. So in the Gemara, the first opinion says, Amar Rav Gidel Bar Menashe, Amar Shmuel. Rav Gidel says in the name of Shmuel, Halacha ka Rabban Gamliel. The halacha is like Rabban Gamliel. Rav Gamliel, of course, says that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur do truncate Avelut, and we do Paskin this way. Tosfos mentions here that it seems, based on the opinion of Rabban Gamliel, that if he believes that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur truncate Shiva and Shloshim, so too would Shavuot. So you get the trifecta there, according to Rabban Gamliel. And that is how we paskin. V'ika d'matni l'hadar of Gidel bar Menashe, aha. There are some who teach who learn the Mishnah of Rav Gidel bar Menashe referring to a different matter, meaning we had just said that Rav Gidel's opinion was that the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel related to this topic in our Mishnah. However, some do not learn it that way. Some learn it related to an entirely different topic. If you learn it that way, then the reason is because we would assume the halachas right, like Rabban Gamliel, because we always follow the more makil opinion in Avelut, and Rabban Gamliel is the most makil opinion of all of them, because under the most conditions he would truncate the Shiva. You would have less Shiva, you'd be lenient related to how much Shiva and how much Shloshim you observe, and so therefore we could derive that the halachas are Rabban Gamliel without needing Rav Gidel or Shmuel to teach us that. So if you think that it's obvious that the halachas like Rabban Gamliel, then they apply this teaching of Rabbi Gidel bar Menashe to a different topic, which is the topic of mourning for a child that, an infant who passes away. So here is the story, two lines up from the bottom. Kol lamed yom, for the first 30 days that an infant is born, tinok yotze b'chek, a infant who passes away is brought out carried in one's bosom, v'nikbar b'isha achat u'shnei anashim, and is buried in a private ceremony that can include a woman and two men. So you want to have three people that are at this ceremony, not a minyan, and they can be mixed, but it could be one woman and two men. Avalobu isha charushtei nashim, but not one man and two women. This is related to tsniut issues, just as far as yichud situations, because they were going to go out and be by themselves in the cemetery, burying the child. So tsniut and yichud issues would still apply, but basically the child would not get a full burial, and there would be no minyan. It would just be a private ceremony. There is a dispute between Rashi and Tosfot about whether or not this tinok refers to a baby that was carried to term or not carried to term. And the way this was understood by the Rishonim, by Rashi and Tosfot, based on the Gemaras, is whether or not kalulo chadasha, was it a premature baby that was born, or was it not a premature baby? It was a full-term baby, kalulu chadashav, that was born in the ninth month and was fully formed, or a premature baby sometimes was born before the ninth month, up to many weeks before the due date, so to speak. And that baby, perhaps there are some who would hold that this refers only to that kind of a child who was very premature and was not fully formed. Tosfot seems to think that it should apply to whether a baby was full term or premature. Okay, that takes us to the end of the daf. We turn over to the next page, Chav Dalet Amud Bet. Abba Shaul Omer, Abba Shaul counters the first opinion and says, Af b'isha charushtei nashim, even one man and two women. Ordinarily, this might be a problem of yichud, when you have one man alone with two women. However, in this situation, because they are dealing with a burial of an infant, we are not concerned for any impropriety. It's too sad an occasion. Some additional halachot related to an infant who passes away is that not all of the mourning practices are kept. So ve'ein omdim alav b'shura, it's not required to create two rows of consolers. So usually after the burial, the mourners walk through a row of two mourners and they give them a consolation. So it's not required to create that shura, those rows. Ve'ein omrim alav birchat avelim, and they don't say the blessing of the avelim, which we discussed earlier in the tractate, was something that was said outside the synagogue in public, was a special blessing of comfort to the mourners. Ve'tanchume avelim, and the benediction or the invocation that is said to mourners, either min hashamayim tenachamu or hamakom yinachem etchem. This is the tanchumei avelim. When people come to pay shiva calls, they say these formulas, but for an infant, they are not supposed to say them. That is for a child who is less than 30 days old, a child who passes away in the first month. Then the next case, though, is Ben Shloshim, if the child does pass the 30-day mark, in which case he emerges from any safek of being a nefel, of being of being a miscarried child that was born. After 30 days, yotze bedeluskama, then you bring the child out not completely free, just in, cuddled to one's bosom, but in a deluskama, which is a kind of a small coffin. Or a small box. Apparently, a deluskama, or in some versions it's a galuskama with a gimel, was a box that was used to hold pieces, musical instruments, or possibly like a file box that was used to hold papers. But it's in general a kind of a smaller size file box. In this case, it would have been a mini coffin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo deluskama hanitele bekateif, not a larger coffin that would be carried on one shoulder. Ela hanitelet ba'agafayim, but one that is carried in the arms. Now, it could be that this means, nitelet ba'agafayim could mean that it was carried by the arms. Rashi says two people should carry it. Or agafayim perhaps mean handles, in which case that means there was this was a kind of a small coffin that had handles, and two people would hold the handles. And in addition to that, v'omdina lav b'shura, if the child was older than 30 days, you would make a row of comforters to comfort them, v'omrim alav birchat avelim, and you would say the blessing of the mourners, v'tanchumei avelim, and the benediction of consolation. So after 30 days, things are done more normally, but not 100% normally. It's still done in a less official fashion than for an adult. Ben yud bet chodesh, but if the child is already 1 year old, Yotze b'mita. Then you bring them out in a mita we translate as a bed. In this case, it would mean a bier, like a, not a coffin, because they didn't use coffins for adults. They used like a pallet. It's called a bier, B-I-E-R. In which the body was draped with a sheet and was carried out. And that's the way adults were buried. So once the child is a year old, the child is treated as if in a full adult fashion related to burial. However, Rabbi Akiva is a little more machmir. Rabbi Akiva omer, hu ben shana ve'erav ve'evarav keben shtayim. If the child is a year old, but he looks like he's two, or hu ben shtayim, or he's 2 years old, ve'evarav keben shana, but he looks like he's one, yotze b'mita, then you can bring him out in a bier. But unless he is either actually 2 years old or appears as if he's 2 years old, you cannot. So Rabbi Akiva would be a little more machmir and say that just being 1 year old is not enough. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, hayotze b'mita, one who goes out in a bier, rabim matzhivim alav, meant the public will mourn for him. So matzivim seems to be related to color. We say tzahov is yellow, but perhaps not exactly sure what they meant by colors in Talmudic times. It's difficult to figure out sometimes. So it means here that people's faces became colored with emotion, and they would cry over the person who had passed away. So the idea here is that when you have a funeral for which people need to cry, for which the public needs to mourn, then you need to take them out in a bier. So, and people know that when somebody's taken in a bier, it's because people need to mourn them. Eino yotze b'mita, but if they do not go out in a bier, ein rabim matzivim alav, then the public does not cry or does not color their faces with emotion over them. There is an alternative girsa here. That's mentioned in the Ksav Yad of Rashi, who writes, instead of matzivin, he writes mitzavchin, which means to cry out. So if that's the awkward word, matzivin, it could be tzavchin, that's the sign of whether or not people call out in anguish over a deceased person is determined by whether or not they're carried out in a bier or not. He mentions both girsas. I don't know which is the correct one. We have in the standard edition, we have matzivin. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gives one final definition. He says, nikar l'rabim, if the child is recognizable to the public, rabim itaskimimo, then the public has to be involved in their funeral. The way Rashi says it, it's a little older, a child who's a toddler, that is, he is seen around the neighborhood. People, he has an independent identity, that is, you see him running around the streets already, so people know who he is. Eino nikar l'rabim, but if he's not recognized to the masses, ein rabim mitaskimo, then the public does not have to deal with him. This is perhaps a little counterintuitive for us. I could imagine that in our culture that the death of an infant can sometimes be considered to be almost a greater tragedy. I don't know if a greater tragedy than the death of a toddler or another child, all the children, but in some ways the death of children can sometimes be considered to be more tragic than the death of adults. It seems like they didn't view it exactly that way for infants. Perhaps the reason would be that infant mortality was unfortunately so common in that era and is much less common in today's world. So one other topic related to this, so that's all about the different stages of getting to treat a child in their burial as if they are an adult. Everyone agrees that by the time you get to a year, to Yud Bet Chodesh, except for Rabbi Akiva's minor opinion, but most of the other opinions agree that at a year, the child is buried as an adult. And for sure we could pass in that way as well, but there are opinions brought in the Shulchan Aruch brings that after 30 days you would bury a child as an adult. So the last question that we'll deal with, three lines up in the skinny lines on Chaf Dalet Amud Bet, is Hesped. What about eulogizing? So the Gemara asks, Umahein behesped, what about eulogizing an infant? Rabbi Meir b'shem Rabbi Yishmael, we have two opinions in the name of Rabbi Yishmael. The first is Rabbi Meir. Omer, aniyim b'nei shalosh, ashirim b'nei chamesh. So Rabbi Meir says in the name of Rabbi Yishmael that poor people would eulogize children who were 3 years old, and wealthy people when they were 5 years old. And the reason for this, it seems to be, is that because the poor have less joy in their lives and fewer possessions, when something that's very precious to them, such as a child, is taken away, it is more profoundly upsetting both to them and to the community. So they begin to eulogize their children from an earlier date, whereas for the wealthy, it is not as tragic, and so we wait till longer. To me, this distinction between the poor and the rich does not resonate very strongly, and it may be perhaps a question of culture, you know, the question of how we relate to children today as opposed to how they related to children back then. The second opinion is Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Ishmael, Aniyim b'nei chamesh, the poor wait until the child is 5 years old, Ashirim b'nei shesh, and the wealthy until six. So he makes the same distinction, but he first of all makes a smaller difference in time, just a 1 year difference in time between the poor and the wealthy, and also he pushes them off until a little older. However, he adds one other additional interesting point. Ubnei zekenim, children of older parents, ki bnei aniyim, are as if they are like poor people. That is, in cases where it would be heightened emotion, such as a person didn't have a child until they were much older or something like that, that it's similar, that they're, and maybe the commonality between the older people and the poor people is that this is that their children are for some reason more precious to them, either because they don't have other material goods or because they didn't think they would be able to have children. But he opens it up to a broader understanding that the more precious a child would be, the earlier you would eulogize them. And interestingly, it does not mention any idea of some being an only child, which I would think would heighten the pathos of such a death. But it's not mentioned here in the Gemara. Amar Rav Gidel bar Menashe, Amar Rav, sort of Gidel, who we started our recording with in the beginning, said the name of Rav, Halachak Rabbi Yehuda, the halachas are like Rabbi Yehuda, that the poor wait until five and the wealthy wait until six. She'amar Mishum Rabbi Ishmael, who said in the name of Rabbi Ishmael, that is the final halacha. Shulchan Aruch Paskins like that as well, but it is not, as far as I know, our common practice today. We'll stop there, three lines down in the wide lines, and we'll continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.